This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
We're joined now by a man who knows a little bit about these two programs, these two institutions, and a lot about football. He is Mike Mayock. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, it is quite a pleasure to have you here, because we've got a lot of just general football stuff they'd like to talk about. But yeah, for me, this is my first time being at one of these things. And, I mean, you know a lot about these teams in a way that not a lot of other people do, because you were telling us you've played against these programs. What is it that just makes these games so special and so challenging comparatively?
They basically take a sledgehammer to each other for 60 minutes, okay? And somebody's left standing at the end of the day. And then the most special thing of the whole day happens, believe it or not, when the game's over.
Yeah.
And that's when they do the alma mater. And basically, these senior athletes from both teams will go down to the end zone, first the losing team, then the winning team, and they hug each other and they sing each other's alma mater. And you can see them crying, you can see them bleeding, and you think about how they just took this sledgehammer for 60 and now they're going to go out and protect the country. And it's just a little bit different than any other college football game I've ever been around.
Call it America's game. But let's talk about the big news here. And I tried to let you know, you've probably been asked a lot about Bill Belichick today.
Yeah.
You're going to be asked again
because
it is an incredible thing. First of all, the concept of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in that position where you could, you've been in the NFL at the highest levels. The concept of just going back and doing college, having never done it before.
Look, I played for Bill Belichick for the New York Giants. And I made the team in 1982, and he was a 29-year-old special teams coordinator and linebacker coach. And my dad was a coach, okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time practice I went through with Belichick, I called my dad and said, "Dad, this dude's different. He's smart. He might be the smartest football guy I've ever been around. He's going to be special." And I had no idea how special he was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, but 8 Super Bowl rings later, okay, he's 72 years old. I happen to think that he's going to hire Mike Lombardi. He's going to be his GM. He's going to bring his group of people in. They're going to run this like a structured franchise like the NFL. And I think 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, I couldn't really imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
But because of where college football's heading, NIL, the portal, really all that is NFL free agency without any rules.
Yeah.
That's what it is. No salary cap. Go get a bunch of money, put it in a collective, and throw it at high school kids, and then backfill with the portal when you need position filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest question people want to know is, how's he going to interact with 18-year-old kids? That's all his structure and his toughness and run the hill. And is he going to be able to identify with that kid?
Yeah.
And two things. I think number one, they'll be able to recruit the right kind of kid. It's just like the Army and Navy kid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But they're going to find kids all over the country that when he flashes 8 Super Bowl rings and says, I can help you get there, there are people that are going to want to go through what he's going to ask them to do to get there.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be some fallout, like there is in every program, but that's where the portal comes in. And that's where having a GM of the college program in Mike Lombardi comes in.
Yeah.
So I happen to be amongst the group of people that at first, the last week or so, I was like, I don't know, college. And the more I think about it, the more I think he's smart enough, he understands it, he gets it. I think he's going to run a hell of a program.
What does a general manager of college program do? Like, if you had that job, because I there's no real definition out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can assume NIL. I can assume maybe recognizing talent or identifying player. But how would you define it if you had that?
It's not a whole lot different than what is done in the NFL, to be honest. It's a different conversation. But in a nutshell, here's what it is. You're identifying talent at the high school level,
mm-hmm.
right? You're identifying talent at the college level through the portal,
which
is hard. That's the one they're having trouble getting their arms around.
Yeah.
Most colleges are not set up today to evaluate hundreds of kids going into the portal at the same time.
Like a pro scouting department.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the hard piece of it right now, okay? But you're going to scout high school kids, you're going to scout portal kids, and you're going to have X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, that you're going to have to assign to both,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you're going to have to run your program based on the dollars available, which is your own salary cap.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more structure. I'd like to have more universal rules around what you can and can't do with money,
mm-hmm.
but it's not there.
No.
So they're going to try to raise as much money as they can, and Mike Lombardi's job as the GM is not going to be that much different philosophically than what an NFL GM mm-hmm. is.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of NFL GMs, you were one. We're talking to Mike Mayock, former player, host on Westwood One, and of course, for 3 seasons, you were the general manager of the Raiders. And I think with our team locally, the Houston Texans, I mean, Casero's done a pretty good job. But I think we're getting to some points where, you know, you're early in the tenure of D'Amico Ryans and this, and there's people that have criticisms of certain pieces of this.
Yeah.
At what point, or like, what are some of the identifying factors that let you know if you need to move on from a particular part of the structure, whether it's a coach or a scout or whatever? Like, what are some of the signs that let you know as a general manager that it might be time to move on from somebody?
Well, I mean, let's look at the big picture for a second in Houston, okay? And you mentioned Nick Casario. He came from that Belichick tree in New England. I know Nick really well, and I thought he did a hell of a job navigating through some tough times, okay? Three different head coaches in 3 years, if I remember, right?
Yeah.
You know, ownership not sure about some things. Nick was, I think, the glue that kind of kept that together, and he continues to draft very well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson in the same draft class. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, he's done some things that has populated that team with young talent. So check. I like what he's doing as a GM. You've got a young head coach that people gravitate towards. I like him also.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you win in the NFL? On a consistent basis, you win with an owner that gets it. You win with a head coach and GM that are tied at the hip philosophically, which I think your guys are.
Yeah, there's definitely synergy there.
And then you need a franchise quarterback, and there aren't many of them out there. Like, by definition, there's maybe 5 or 6 of them, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be good for a long period of time, those are the 3 things you need, okay? So I think they've got the pieces in place, and I think patience is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I did your game against the Jets, I think it was, on Westwood One Radio, and when I did my tape work, I felt like your interior offensive line was struggling.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah, you did great work, because that's
they
the
were.
Conversation. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so when I watched the tape, and I think the left guard got hurt that night, left or right guard got
it
hurt
was
that
left,
night,
yes, sir.
And he had the most trouble, I thought, of anybody on that offense heading into the game. I forget who it was.
Kenyon Green. He was getting targeted.
Yeah. So if I put my GM hat on, and when I was that week when I was doing that game, it was kind of like, okay, good young roster, got to augment that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wide receiver position was a little bit beat up. How good is John Metchie? Have we figured that out yet?
Right.
You know, he came out of college with the injuries, a talented kid. Is it Tank Dell, Metchie? You know, we've got Nico Collins, another great pick, right? You know, what round they get him in? Three?
Third rounder.
Yeah, yes, Nico Collins, right? So, and then you look on defense with Will Anderson and what they're trying to do. I love the Fadakasi signing because he was just a solid, tough free agent. Mm-hmm. So I think they're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to be patient, especially in this day and age where owners want to fire people every other day.
Sure.
But to finalize your answer a little bit, it's just if you're the owner and you see your head coach and GM working together, building a team without panic from the inside out, developing a roster with a young quarterback, I think that's the recipe. And I you know, whether you're happy right now or not, I think they're on the right tangent.
That's I love that answer. I appreciate the thoroughness that you gave there. And in that, you started talking about the offensive line, and that's been a huge topic of conversation, as I'm sure you can tell. There's a lot of money and there's a lot of assets been invested in this offensive line, and it really does feel like it's coming to a head where there might be big changes that are necessary. How difficult is it to turn over an offensive line, particularly if it feels like you need a lot of help there all the way across?
And you've
the
paid the two tackles.
And again, my issue was more the interior of the line.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, you've got a guy, one of the guards is who played for Belichick years ago.
Shaq Mason. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, he was a wishbone guard at Georgia Tech. You know, but he's 31 plus or minus years old now. You know, so Shaq, I think his best days are behind him. The other guard spot was a problem. I think there was a revolving door at center with injuries. So, to answer your question, I mean, it's a combination of draft and free agency. And you can find interior offensive linemen, the plug and play, that are veteran guys in free agency while you develop young guys.
Yeah.
It's harder to find left tackles that have all kinds of talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can plug and play some veteran guys. You can continue to draft the young guys. I don't see any reason to panic or being jump off any rooftops at this point with Houston.
I know we got to wrap it up, but just real quick, if you can give a quick answer, can Travis Hunter play both ways in the NFL?
I think he wants to. He's 182 pounds. I watched tape of him, like 152 snaps against, I forget, Kansas or whoever it was. I mean, I'm blown away by that young man's ability to play at a high level, a full game. Like in the old days, Charles Woodson or whatever, he just played a package on offense. This kid's playing every snap of every game. It's different. It's special. And I think if I'm an NFL GM or coach that drafts him, I want to find a way to tap into that.
All right. So you think there's a chance, at least at some level?
I don't think he's going to play every snap of
every
game,
snap,
but I think there's a good chance that he'll play on both sides of the ball.
I mean, real quick, what's the best way to do that? Would that be like primarily a cornerback with a few packages on offense?
Yes, I see him as a corner day one, and I think you can fit him into your pass game on offense.